All right, everyone ready for a great call today? Whoop, whoop. See, I'm seating. We're setting our intention for this mess segment of our day. So we have the next 90 minutes together. Phones off, tabs down, like let's be together. And our goal today is really in these monthly calls to really unpack the concepts that we're talking about in those core, in the summits and those core lessons. Sometimes we'll bring in outside speakers, we'll bring in alumni, which is what we've done today. I'll introduce Tiffany in a moment. We'll pick a concept that's really important or really relevant right now and really just dive into it. But it's any and all things really relevant to your practice and creating new levels of success there. So I am thrilled. And you are going to be thrilled too that we have Tiffany Charles, the Chief Growth Officer of Destiny Capital and Entrepreneur Aligned, here with us. Tiffany was a private client, I guess now 6 or 7 years ago, with the firm that she was at. They joined Lifestyle. She ultimately left that firm, joined another firm, which you're going to hear all about. And then they were like alumni coaches last year, which was super fun. And they'll come back more this year. And you'll see why. So Tiffany and her partner, Jared, are just really incredible examples of all the things we talk about, right? Leading through vision, leading through change, right? Leading into that next level of success. So Tiff, do you just want to say hi and introduce yourself? And then I know they're going to get to spend quite a bit of time with you here shortly.
Yeah, see some familiar faces. Hi, I am, as Steph said, I'm Tiffany. I have been in the industry since 2010, and did 5 years of commercial real estate prior to that. So definitely saw some interesting things from 2006 to 2010 on the commercial real estate side and seeing how people build their wealth. Lose their wealth as well as become super wealthy in utilizing that as an asset class. And then have been, I've sat and I think about every seat that you could possibly sit in a wealth management firm. Got my foot in the door with one of the top firms here in Denver by executive assistant. If you're good at that, it's really hard to get out of that role. So I got pregnant and got my license while I was on my leave to come back as an advisor because I figured it was a good time to get my replacement. And built my career from there. I'm a part of now a second generation firm where it was taken over by son of our founder in 2017. He brought me in 2018 to grow it. And so we will talk a lot about just the change, the overwhelm, the step by step, the mistakes, and all the things to get to where we are today, which is we're starting to see levels of real predictable growth, and we have the flywheel going, and we have operational leverage. So we're really excited about what the future holds.
And Tiffany will share the story in a bit, but it wasn't always that way, right? It's been a lot of intention and work, and inspired elbow grease, as I like to call it. A lot of inspired elbow grease. So I just want to ground us today. I know you've heard this 17 different ways, but I just want to really package and present it as simply and obviously as I possibly can. This is our focus for this quarter. One, to help you clarify your vision. And by clarify, I don't mean you need a 92-page business plan with every detail, right? And models and market audiences and SWOT. I mean, directionally, are we going to Chicago? Right. So we were on our lifestyle call earlier today, and one of the lifestyle advisors has this great, his big why and vision is I want to build a simple and efficient process practice so I can spend more time. Create possibilities and experiences for the people that I love, right? He's got all these pictures of his family. Like, that's a perfectly great vision. If you happen to know that you want to be a billion-dollar firm and have, a leading brand, fantastic. The goal is just to get really clear about what we're investing our time, energy, and capital in, and to what effect. What's the outcome we want to create? And the clearer we are on the outcome, the more efficient, the more effective, and the more enjoyable the journey will be. And I think one of the big issues we have, and Tiff and Jared can talk a lot about this, is if we're not really careful, we get so focused on the goal when we fix this or when we hit this number, and then we get really lost. I can certainly, from the first stage of my, you get just so lost and busy going and doing and proving and producing, that you're not having a good time along the way. And the whole goal of having a practice and building a business is to be able to do stuff that you really love, that you could think can add real value to people, and to improve everyone's situation in the process. So we're going to talk more about this, but we want to get really clear on the vision of what outcomes we want to create for ourselves and all the other stakeholders in the process. Because when the vision is clear, the decisions are easy. They're at least easier. I'm not saying they're without effort or even without economics. But when we know what we're trying to create, it's a lot easier to synthesize and validate whether something is congruent with that goal or is not. And we get lost in the messy middle a lot, and we do a lot of work and energy and right. And then we just end up with something that's good but not great. And we have to go back and rework it. So we want to make sure this next stage of growth that you're entering in your firms is really aligned with the vision you want to create. Like you're going to hear me talk about this over and over and over, and you will thank me for it later. Two, we want to create a positive mindset and what I call happy high performance. I want to be a happy, high-performing professional. Like if you told me that I just get to be happy and high-performing, that is the best of both worlds to me. I think the great challenge that all founders, motivated people have is we've got something driving us forward. Otherwise, why would you be on this crazy adventure? Right? And sometimes that becomes proving and striving, and we get stuck in it. And again, we're not having a good time. And so, what I know, what all the research shows, is that if we have happy, high-performing habits, we'll have a happy, high-performing life. It's inevitable. The question this quarter for each of you is, all roads lead to Rome. What's happy and high-performing for me? High performing doesn't mean you have to be the biggest. It doesn't mean you have to squeeze in X number more client meetings than the next human. Like, I want you to embrace FOPO with all that you are. Do you know what FOPO is? FOMO is, who can give me FOMO? Come on. Participation sport today. Come on, Chris, save me.
Fear of missing out.
That's right. So, what is FOPO?
Fear of passing out.
Yeah. That's a good one. It could be fear of other people's opinions. I did a post on social the other day. 99%, it just struck me, like true for me as well, right? Deep down, 99% of the things that we don't do or struggle with are related to our worrying about how other people will respond to what we do. I know I need to raise my fees, but what will the clients think? Well, we got to figure out a good way to present it and not lose, right? But at the end of the day, they think they don't want you to be in an upside down, unprofitable business if they're reasonable. So if we have happy, high performing habits, it's inevitable that we have happy, high performing lives. And the cool thing is we have control over our habits. So we're going to talk a lot more about that this quarter. And the third objective is productivity and accountability. How do I make sure there's two layers here? We talk about time and productivity. There's how we use our time. You know, did I show up today? Did Tiffany do what she said she was going to do? Did she get distracted? Was she, you know, checking her email 17 times? Right? Like that's being intentional and responsible. Like, how am I operating the asset? Right? Is the machine running at its highest and best use? That's different than what is the machine doing. So we focused a lot on productivity for you as an asset. How many times does Chris check an email? Rob, are you as productive as you can be with your time? But that's true whether you're a junior FA in your firm or the CEO in your firm. What the next layer of time and accountability, and we're going to talk a lot about this at the March Summit and then at Leaders Retreat. So this is going to be a big game changer for, I hope, for many of you, is how I use my time is different than what I spend my time on. And those are the two time levers that create most of your performance and how you feel about it. And then accountability is how do we hold ourselves accountable for our mindset, for our vision, and for our time, knowing that those are the three biggest levers we have to create new levels of success. So those are our core objectives for the quarter. How do you guys feel about that? We got worksheets and we got calls, and we got summits, and it's all really cool, but I want to make sure we get grounded as we kick off, right, sort of our monthly series of calls and summits and everything we're going to do this year, that this quarter and each quarter, we're really grounded in what's our outcome this quarter. And this quarter, thematically, it's get clear, get focused, and get to work, putting yourself and your team in the best position for success. So as you implement strategies in your practice as we move forward, you, the team, and your time are all aligned around things that are actually going to get you to that vision. So that's our focus for the quarter. I want to pause here. I know some of you have started to implement changes. Who would like to share a win, just something that they've changed or done since we kicked off just 30 days ago, that's had a positive effect on their practice? Are you guys going to let the lifestyle people crush you? There were lots of
I'll
examples
share.
of lifestyle
Everybody,
people.
I'll share.
Go for it.
So I did. I don't know where I got it, but it had to be from y'all. I think it came from the summit on the meeting, and then changing Monday to CEO day, running the shop Tuesday through Thursday, keeping Friday as flex. So that's been good because it fits like how I feel. I can move into like surges and work into batches. But the output, I guess, as we're dealing with this week, it's the most appointments on the calendar for us. It's like 15 or 20, and we usually have maybe 3 to 5. So I guess I would look for help on that, like how to manage that. So yes, like I've protected and boxed out my time, but it's created like these back-to-back appointments, which isn't necessarily a problem. I can handle that. Maybe that has to be like that. But that's kind of what's come out of that.
All right, so
I can see long term how that would be better, but
medium
it's like
surge. So you've
installing
started
it.
the process and now you're growing into it, as we like to say.
Yeah, it's like I'm installing this new thing into the practice, and the output isn't. I don't feel today that like I have a bunch of bandwidth to do a lot. I feel like I have a lot more than usual on my plate.
Okay. So we'll talk about, let's make sure a note to make sure we can get with you on surges, but you've started that process. You've blocked you're now using weekly schedule, which is good, it sounds like. And you're right, getting started on surges, because that will be a huge, not just productivity gain for you and the team, but it'll free up large swaths of time in between meetings when you get it fully implemented. So love that you're moving in the right direction. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
Anyone
I'm
else
willing
have
to
a
be
win?
patient with it.
Go ahead.
Willing to be patient with it. I know it takes some time to get it in.
Yeah, especially surges, because there's actually a way to execute surges that you want to make sure that you follow, because if you don't, you'll get really backed up on the follow-up work, and that's not great for you, the team, or clients. So we can talk a little bit more about that. I'll make a note. All right, surges. All right. Anyone else have a win they want to share?
I'll talk a little bit about mindset. So there was one of the sheets, I don't remember where I found it on the portal, but about some of the meditation
Oh, the
and
meditation resources.
yeah. And so I looked at it and I realized that, wait a minute, half of these I have, like Paul McKenna, this I Can Transform Your Life in 7 Days. I listened to that probably, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago, and it really is transformative. Some of the things from Learning Strategies Corporation, I have honestly had for probably 30 years, some of those. The first ones I had, I think, were like audio cassettes, and they sent CDs. And but anyway, I've done the Paul McKenna, I think it's called Change. I Can Change Your Life in 7 Days, and this guy's really amazing. It's 28 minutes, right? It's a bit of a commitment in the morning or at night, but it's what we're doing here, right? It forces you to sort of picture yourself in these very, what does success look like to you? How do you feel? What do you, what? And it's just been magnificent, right? I don't know if anybody has any experience with meditation or hypnosis. It's what I did years ago to sort of get to the first level. And again, it's like I mentioned to Stephanie early on, I kind of forgot about all this stuff. And I was leaving for the office the other day. My wife said, "Well, you are just slammed. We have so many initiatives going on." I said, "I know, but I'm having a ball, right? This is just a blast." And I didn't feel that way even like a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago. So just, it's worthwhile. Anybody's interested to sort of look at some of those resources and dive in.
Yeah, I think it's under, is it Vision or Time Lesson? There's a list called Meditation Resources. You just go in the library and look it up. When I first started learning about mindset and started to shift into what I call happy high performance, Because as I mentioned earlier, I think the thing that we all really want is we want to get up, we want to do great work, we want to kick butt and take names and add value and make lots of money and have impact, awesome balls in the air. Like we love that energy, right? And then when we want to be done at like 35 hours a week, because that's about what the science says, like we really max out at, and we want to be like, I'm present, it's amazing, and hearts and stars and puppies and daisy chains and, like all, and can we live in both worlds, right? We tend to really bring the work world into our personal one, which is really distracting and dilutive and defeating in a lot of really important ways. We don't tend to go the opposite direction, right? And I think we all are kind of walking on the edge of this line where, we kind of lean this way a little bit and then we lean, like, to me, that's equilibrium versus balance. Work-life balance says if something goes up, something has to go down, like a teeter-totter. I just don't accept that premise. Like if time goes down, I could be 10x more productive at work, right? It doesn't have to be a negative correlation. So, when I first started, as you guys know, had left United Capital. If you've heard the story, if you haven't, go watch Kitsis podcast number 24, where I go into the whole thing. Like I had migraines, I had full body rashes, I thought I was gonna die. I was like, I have to do something different. Like I was so racked with anxiety constantly. And so I started listening to these learning strategies. It's like biofeedback and bilateral brainwaves, right? And there's like words in the background. And I think I started at the one on self-confidence, which is crazy because I was literally at the apex of my career, but I don't remember why. That was just what I was really feeling. And it is the brain is essentially a biocomputer, which means you can upgrade the code. That's essentially what you're doing is there's now these programs and meditations that have like binaural beats where, right, they're doing beats on the left and right side of your brain at the same time. And so you become a more whole brain thinker faster than if you sat on the mountain for 70 years. Learning strategies, right, is basically just reprogramming you with conscious that you hear two conversations at once in your head, which is distracting and cool at the same time because you're like going back and forth and you're like, is it working? And they know so much about how the brain now knows that we're just hacking it. So you have to be open to that kind of thing. When I started, my attitude was, I will try anything that's going to hack my happiness or my performance. And if it doesn't work, it just doesn't work. I'm not going to be judgy. I'm not going to be like, hey, I don't think I'm the kind of person that's going to dress in robes and put crystals around my head and dance around the campfire. But if that actually worked, I would totally do it, right? And it turns out there is a little bit of that in there, depending on how far you want to go. But so for me, learning strategies, which is really cheap, by the way, they've got them on self-confidence, your money mind, they've got paraliminals, they've got these things called walkabouts. It's really just brain hacking. So meditation resources, calm.com has an amazing, my husband actually tried it with me and he's not like, I would not put him in the right, like open-mindedy meditation self-helpy camp at all. And he totally dug it. This guy's like quoting Led Zeppelin. It's called, How to Meditate in 30 Days. It's Jeff something. It's on the list. I use one called Brainwaves. So they're doing like brainwaves and frequency. So like after 7 months, I just started it. I'll keep you posted. It's supposed to like get you into that alpha state, like after 7 months, because it like actually amps up the frequency every month. It's sort of like the equivalent of being like a monk on a mountain for 20 years without the 20 years. So I'm like, I can't promise you it will work, but it didn't cost so much that I'm not willing to invest in the experiment. I can tell you when I listen to it, I feel so cheat out. Like just like 10 minutes is so grounding. And 30 minutes, I feel like so like expansive and connected. It seems to be really effective. So there's a number of resources like that on there. If you guys want to check those out in the right in the vein of positive mindset and habits, like it doesn't just have to be a game of willpower. There's a lot of science now and things that you can leverage to hack. There's things you listen to when you sleep at night. Science has actually proven that those are effective because when you go to sleep, it's when the wall between your, right, that kind of theta zone, that dreamy zone when you fall asleep and when you wake up is when your mind is the most impressionable. It's when you have the greatest opportunity to upgrade and up level what's happening behind that curtain. So they have things that you can sleep with. I have a bunch of them. I use them all, like probably 75% of the nights that I go to sleep, I have my headphones in and I'm listening to something that's aligned with what I'm focused on right now. So there's a lot of, there's a million other things out there. There's just a few on there. If you want to try something and get started, if you want to talk about that personally, let me know. I get excited about personal well-being and performance. Always happy to have those conversations. All right, well, Rob, good to see you applying things. And it's funny, a lot of what we teach here is being brilliant at the basics. We have this incredible habit of doing things that work and then stopping once we hit that first goal instead of doubling down on them. So it's great to see you getting back to some of those basics. And again, productivity and accountability, what are we doing and is it really aligned with our goals is the conversation we want to have there. So this month's topic is really about implementing change. And in the case of leaders, you're not just implementing change at the personal or even the practice level, you're implementing change at the team level, which means you have to bring other people with you. So whether they're super excited and on board or change fatigued and resistant, you are all going on this journey together. And again, the goal is to be efficient and effective and enjoyable. So this month, we asked Tiffany to come in and share a little bit about her experience. But I want to just pause before we do that and ask each of you to pause and reflect on where to this point as we think about implementing change, right? So we've kind of opened the candy store and uncorked the box and said, here's all the stuff that you can do. It's amazing. And we're just getting started. So I want you to think about where you are. Where is resistance coming up? And we're not going to go deep dive on it, but I want you to just take 30 seconds to think about it. And I'm going to ask you to share it in 5 words or less. If you really need 6 or 7, it's okay. It's a focus exercise. Where are you feeling resistance? It might be, I feel uncertain about where to start. It might be, I just see so much that I want to do that I feel so behind. Like, just take a moment to just breathe into your body and get grounded. And let's just get really clear on where resistance is starting to surface because resistance means we're on to something. Let's start. Rob, you're first on my screen. Let's start with you.
We talked about it a bit last week, but just the stepping away from some of the day-to-day activity, email
Yep.
predominantly.
Stepping away from email. You
Yes.
see, you got that in 5 words.
Okay,
Good.
perfect.
Ryan.
I guess the kind of planning for the people within the firm, just coming up with like processes to measure performance would be where I'm at.
Okay, not sure how to measure progress and performance.
Yeah.
Great. Ed, how about you?
Mine is the email thing as well, so I'm not gonna steal that, but it's just being more
Oh, I
intentional
promise
with
it's
my
not just the two of you.
Yeah,
So if you guys take it, the rest of the world's out of luck.
it's just being more intentional with my time, I would say.
Cool. All right. Chris, how about you?
There's just so much to do.
There's so much to do. All right, that's 5 words. So overwhelm, right? We can put it in one word. Yeah, narrowing that focus. Kevin, how about you?
With me, Kevin, with Kevin.
Sorry, Kevin Edelman. Sorry. We have three
Sorry
Kevins, so.
about that. I would say guilt working on the business, not in, if that makes
Okay.
sense.
Leanna, how about you?
Mine would be the intentional with time, delegating tasks.
Great. Kevin at the black table. Other Kevin, you're going to be other Kevin henceforth.
That's fine. I'm called worse at home. Time.
Time.
The word
Right.
serves at time.
Is it just feeling like you can do it?
No, we're walking in the surge this month. And or how do we implement what we want to implement?
Okay. So just getting over the how to do it hurdle. Great. Sarah.
It's related to email, but getting out of the habit of multitasking. like okay. focusing on one thing at a time.
All right, great. Danny and Chase.
Yeah, so mine would be the email also, just by habit, not by choice. But I did go from 5 hours the last 3 weeks to 2 hours and 11 minutes last week. So I cut a bunch of time off of it. I just told them how to get rid of the other 2 hours.
Well, just notice that your awareness got you half your time back.
Correct.
Right. And I told him he probably can't do it. He was like, well, now the goal is to go from 2 to 0. And I'm like, well, it won't be 0, but it can be 30 minutes an hour.
I haven't gotten it down to less than 30 minutes a day. I think the only way to do that is to literally have someone and you're like, you do email and I talk to you and that's it.
That was just
people do that. I just don't feel like I need to do that just yet.
Yeah,
you can get it there. I'm just saying, like, everything that we're talking about on the email thing, and that's freeing up time, it is doable. And I've never had I had a lot of clients tell me that I responded too quick, almost like, oh, I can't believe you got back to me too fast. And that was like after a day or two of not checking it every day. And I've never, I guess it's been a few years now, and it's never been a problem for any client. I have, like, there's nothing I hadn't followed up on. There's nothing I missed. There's nothing. If anything, I think you said it in the last call, when I go into my email, I'm more focused and I'm ready to do it. And it's like I get it done quicker. But then somebody on one of the breakouts last week said, if you open it up, it keeps like all that email work in your head while you're trying to do all the other stuff. So it eliminates all that. And so you have more room to think too.
Mine and then get out.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, and get all the better stuff. Mine is just implementing that schedule and trying to make it fit and get it grooving.
Great. So that exercise of just checking in with yourself about where is the resistance is a valuable one. Where's the resistance? Because that's where you stand to make that. That's the indicator light that says this is where my next opportunity for real progress is, right? Otherwise, we'd be on the other side of that resistance. So it's just a check-in exercise to see where you're all surfacing that and how it's starting to show up for you. All right. So here is the fun part. We talked about our vision this quarter. Here is, if you were on the lifestyle call, Ryan, I saw you on there. I took the three lessons that we've gone through. The actions are in the individual lessons, but I took the three lessons and dropped in kind of the high level action plan for each of those. And we've got a trail map that we're putting together for each of the lessons, but we've done it for Basecamp, that walks you through the step-by-steps. These are great for you, right? Just it helps you and your brain know a little bit more what happens next and in what order. We'll do them for each lesson going forward. Super helpful for implementing change with your team so that you have the ability to, right, kind of map it out and articulate for them what the high-level touchstones are as you go through that process. So just be on the lookout for those. We'll have them in each of the lessons. The action plan sample will be in there. We'll put it on Tribe and we'll put it in the next Inbox Insight. And someone look at that. Allison already put it in the chat if you want to just take the shortcut and download it. But that's just an example of how you would take three lessons from the summit, prioritize them, right? The vision piece is number one because we need that to really make sure we're clear on what we're executing and why. And then, right, as we have time to make additional progress, we can dig into those other two priorities. And as leaders, you have firms to support you, which generally means you can work on more than one thing at a time, especially this quarter. All right. I really want to get to the highlight of today's call. Tiffany's going to, you know, when she'll give you the backstory, but when she and Jared started, they were taking over the firm. He had taken over the firm from his dad. And let's just say it was not like they were inheriting a legacy firm, which comes with all the legacy issues, right? The clients you've got, the team members you have, et cetera. And they really have, over the last 5 years, worked through so much of that. And they've kind of got that, you know, more seamless, well-oiled growth machine we talk about across the firm really working. So Tiffany's going to talk with us, in particular with you, about implementing change with teams because you're not in this alone. So with that, I'm going to be quiet and I'm going to turn it over to Tiffany.
Hi, thank you.
I'll be your Vanna unless you have control.
I don't have control. Right. I was going to say we can move to the next slide. If you don't mind, there we go. And kind of see the journey of change. Really when I step in, Jared, my business partner, he became majority owner 1 year before I came in, and he was quickly like, my superpowers are not growing this thing. And that was great because I had done the above the line, below the line activities from Limitless, having met Steph prior. And I was like, I'm super clear on a couple of things. I don't love consistently like running a plan and serving clients over and over. I love opening their mind to it, getting them through the door, getting them to say yes. And then I like to stop there. I also really enjoy, I was mentoring a lot of advisors and I really wanted to be in an environment that I felt was the right environment and empowering. And so I created this chief growth officer position. There's a Kitsis podcast out on it if you're interested in hearing it, but it all stemmed from above the line and below the line. And what I recognized was as an industry, especially in the boutique space, I was like, there's a lot of partnerships and that generation, that first generation, they had to be the rainmakers in order to have the opportunity to plan. But these successors have teams and they have, you know, hundreds of clients and they have all these aspects. And so how do they So growth tends to be like this big friction point. And I'm like, why isn't their business development built into the RIAs or what that transition looks like? So Jared was like, I think that's a brilliant idea. And I would love to work that with you. So that's when we became partners. So I was like, this is awesome. I'm so excited. And I come in and I'm like, who doesn't want to grow? Growth solves everything. Well, it turns out we were not growth ready. So those first, like that first year and a half was really hard because I didn't do the proper evaluation of like, truly was there the operational leverage to grow? Yeah. I looked at the finances and there was no doubt that we had the income engine to like get us there. I looked at the team and I was like, great. Like we still have Steve founder. We have Jared and we have a couple of advisors. Like this is, there has to be capacity here. We only have 250 households and there's like four advisors with four support staff. Benchmarks say there's no way that we shouldn't be able to grow. Well, the business was built to serve Steve and for Steve to serve the clients. Like there was no aspects of like centralized notes. There weren't aspects of technology. Steve didn't need technology to serve his clients in a lot of ways. He went in there and he was very a heart-to-heart relationship person and was like, I can run your numbers, but what's going to help you, you know, go home and rest today? And those are the conversations he was having. Well, we have these CFPs that are like, there's so much more we can do to the plan, right? But we didn't have philosophies written and we didn't have career pathing and all these things. And then of course we had the generational shift of going from lifestyle to a practice that is growing on purpose. And that was a hard change for team. And we had management in place that had been part of the 30-year vision prior and was not as open to the new vision that Jared and I had to take this firm. But we have a lot of our own equity play and our vision was going to have to be the one that everyone had to kind of step into or step out. And so unfortunately, while I was ready to get all gung-ho, I was like, who are we niching? I'm interviewing the advisors. Who do you love to work with? Where are all of our clients at? Let's call the CPAs. Like, let's start getting in here because COIs was something I was really great at. And we just weren't. We didn't have a process for onboarding. We had no process on, like, should it still go to Steve? Should it go to that next client? Like, or the next client advisor? Like, how does that work? If I would hand off and they wouldn't close, like that was hard. So we just had to really get clear. And so we went from this, like, let's grow. And that's what I was hired to do to this, like, we need to reevaluate the entire practice and do every aspect to get the operational leverage because we need to be aligned and disciplined in order to get to predictable growth and really get that together. So 2019 through 20, it was honestly, even up until 2022, it was heavily operational. We started with new vision and values as a firm. We got the team buy-in. We created career pathing. We created roles, responsibilities. We invested in all the tech. Our CIO is also one of my business partners. And he sent me a list the other day, ops manual, Red Tail, Fidelity, Orion, e-money, new websites, Asana, Y-charts, Gusto, Lattice, Guideline, Visory, LastPass, Holista Plan. We moved from, we were our own broker dealer, like we closed that and we, that made us have to change broker dealer. So we moved everything from, you know, from Park Ave and Pershing over to Fidelity. That all happened during that time frame. And as a piece of that, we had no processes. So we created an operations manual and anything new that we were implementing, because that's a lot of investment. So you need adoption. We needed to manage it with a team, not to burn them out. We had moments of like real change hangovers and real change resistance. But here we are today. Last year was a very settling year. And now everything is built on growth and we're ready for it. And we have no doubt that everything that we just put in play for the last 4 years is about to serve us for maybe the next million of revenue, 2 million of revenue. It's not going to serve us at our 10x, or what's serving us now at 3.5 million in revenue is not going to serve us at 7 million. Like, we're going to have to continue to change and adapt and grow.
Well, and the fact that Tiffany knows that so right clearly in advance, right? It's that breaking things on purpose that we talk about. So they, as you probably caught from that conversation, they have gone through an incredible amount of change, and not everyone was invested in all of it at every moment in time, right? Which just adds an additional burden to leadership, because, right, you're managing the change and then you're managing potentially negative energy through the change. And there's a lot that goes, I don't know if any of you have those people that say yes, you know, yeah. And then when they show up and do it, they're like, yes, absolutely, I'm on board with this idea. Right. Or they can get locked in change fatigue, right? We've got too many ideas going, or too many shiny ideas that we've started and not finished. And they're like, okay, here we go again. Tiff and Jared really had with their team a lot of change fatigue at one point, because they had, you know, come in and were starting to enact all these changes, but they hadn't painted the vision and the path. So people just didn't quite under, you know, it was like, why are we changing everything? It works just fine. And that's how G2 teams tend to feel a lot. Like, it worked fine. What's the problem? And the problem in their case, which will be the problem in all of your cases, is that showing up and doing great work to service your clients is not a scalable business model. Mm-hmm. You have to show up and work with and through people, process, and platforms to create those same caliber of outcomes and experiences independent of you. That's really what scaling the business is about. Even if it's just two other advisors and you see them every day, you're still giving the client and the outcome to them. And you want to have as much, as Tiffany pointed out, we'll talk about this at the March Leaders Retreat, like, what are the components of a business? You heard her rattle through an awful lot of them that you need to have in place to create that sustainability. You know that it works into perpetuity and scale. You know that it works with growth and that it's in service of the goal, which is it works without me. And that doesn't mean you don't have a role in the firm, Rob, if you're the chief growth, right? But Tiffany could replace herself if she wanted to. The firm could replace her and it would still work. One person doesn't bring the wall down, if that makes sense. And again, you might want to work in your firm for the next 15 years and be the pivotal person from a, you know, and that's okay. We just want the system to be built around you that we could bring in another really awesome human to do that job and get the same kind of outcome, versus just hoping that that person was a good advisor and showed up and did good work. All right, Tiff, your next slide is teed up for you.
Yeah. So how did we start this or get aligned? It starts with Jared and I. We do have a third partner and possibly a fourth one here soon. And so I say Jared and I because when it started and we led through all this change, this is really where it lived. It was very like clear. Jared and I have, we have a lot of meetings, but we have a monthly strategic meeting that's all day. And that is really important to us. First of all, we can get a lot done and covered in that one day. And it helps us just realign, especially as we're effectively running different parts of the business. But it had to start with us. Like, we had to be clear, because when we weren't clear, what would happen as, I'm so sorry, my eye has something in it and it itches so bad. But when we weren't clear, here's what would happen. We would be running these projects and we're like, we're not clear. It's okay. We'll just step in and do it. Like, oh, we just got this pushback from the team. You know, it's okay. We're going to make them feel better about it. And we're just, you know, we're feeling like it just, it was this constant place of just putting ourselves under more stress and more stress. And then it was this place of like, okay, we're just going to get this done versus utilizing the team. And so we were like, that has to stop. You and I have to be so clear. The other thing we learned in implementing every aspect of our business was there are things that we did not have to do. And they felt really important. We created different models for our portfolios. Like that was great. It did not have to happen at all during the time frame. Our clients were highly satisfied with our models and our portfolios. Like it didn't, it did not have to happen when other things did. Jared and I joke, but he got all bent out of shape about like the carpet. We had like this entire like huge investment on changing the carpet. Like, cause you're just in this mode of like everything we need to present this way, we need to do this way. And we're both quick starts as most CEOs are. So like that slowdown is really, really important. I have an incentive comp grid that I built in July of last year. And what I'm trying to do is drive the behaviors of outcomes for our team. We have one in place now and it feels great for everybody, but it's not necessarily driving the client referrals that I would like to see and or how the way asset opportunities. So I'm like, okay, we can roll this out. We have a COO that'll be coming in and she's also run aspects of this. And I'm like, okay, the one's working fine right now. As much as I would love to motivate those behaviors, if I motivate them 6 months down the road in a much better formula or model or one, or this one's agreed upon, then that's great. Here's the rollout. It used to be Jared and I would just roll it out to the team. We've made these decisions. Here we go, team. That didn't work. We've realized that we as a team of 12 have to give levels of voice and digest because not everybody moves at our pace. So how do we then, let's, our rollout is now very similar. We come up with an idea. We go to the partner meeting. We talk to the partners about it. Partners agree. We roll it out to our lead advisors. They have a meeting on a month or on a weekly basis. It gets seated there first. We get their voice carefully. And then we then take it to the all company and we create the project and management around it. That was a very important lesson because when we're like, hey, we're doing this. If the start date's next week, the team really had a hard time with that. So Jared and I, especially if you have business partners, that alignment has to be incredibly important. You're on the same page. You're not in front of your team, like waffling, that you're really in a place of supporting one another. And just recognizing the fact that like not moving too fast. That was our really big lesson in leading change really effectively in our team. We have accomplished a lot and we have a very talented team. But it did come at the cost of some burnout of some employees along the way. And maybe they'd be good fits, maybe they wouldn't. But when you're changing that amount, it can really end up costing. And so we've paid a lot of tuition to learn how do we lead effectively and just slow things down. And I'll get into the process, but now how do we have the team a piece of like, even implementing or suggesting ideas or helping understand where they're prioritizing things so that we can do this in a really great way.
And that's where like EOS or our launch process or some communication structure creates clarity, remember, clarity, transparency, and accountability, because you need to be right continuously reinforcing those ideas, right? So you want to make sure that you have assist. Here's the kicker. You will have change in your practice. It's inevitable. Otherwise, you would not grow and evolve. We need it really does start to get right repetitive, but it's true. We need a system for our time. We need a system or a model for our client base, etc. We need a system for managing change. It does not have to be, you know, a big system with 19 meetings. Tiffin, right? They have a lot of employees. They're virtual, right? They have quarterly get-togethers. It's just what's your simple system for creating clarity, transparency, and accountability with your team. At one point, Tiff and Jared, I think the coaching advice they gave them was go to the team and have the big, we're sorry meeting. Like, hey, we've tried to do this and this and this. we all just need to take a breath and get really clear on what we're doing and why, and right, have a beginning and middle and end to projects and give you a runway. And what a lot of leasers do, and she described it, is we spot clean the carpet. Something broke, stop, fix it. Let's have a meeting. Let's figure out the problem. And it may be an issue. To Tiff's point, it might need to be solved near term, long term, or both, but we tend to stop, completely shift our attention, and start this thing when we might say, hey, you know what, that was not great, but we've accounted for it. Like, we'll figure out the referral strategy as it fits into the priority queue. But right now, it's not where we most need to spend our energy and attention. What teams really love, what we love, we just don't always know how to give it to ourselves, is that level of clarity and intentionality. Here's what we're working on. Here's why we're working on it. Here are the steps we're going to take, right? Here's what we're going to need to do to get across that finish line. So you want to, one, for those of you, right, that if your team's in like great positive energy, it's awesome. You still, whether it's like they're questioning, right? What's limitless? What are you doing? What's this whole thing about? Are they completely on board? Are they in the, what I call the maybe middle? Like, I don't know, we'll just wait and see. Or are they like, oh God, we're just going to cross our arms and hope this passes. Right. And that has nothing to do with anything except what we've done to date. Now we have to have what we call the reset meeting. If they're really excited, the reset meeting is, we're just so excited. Here's the vision of where we're going. And we're going to re-engineer each aspect of the practice in a really intentional way to up, right, to up level what we're doing and write warm, wonderful, fuzzy things. If they're in the maybe middle, then it's, hey, this is what we've done. Some of it's worked, some of it hasn't, right? What we're doing now is taking a very intentional step to, right, invest in this program and process to help us, right, be more clear, more informed, more intentional, right? If they're like, hey, like this, right, you're going to know that, and we're going to have one-on-one meetings, right? Because we need to have that heart-to-heart to say like, hey, what do you think it's going to take? What questions do you have? You know, right? We want to start to break down that resistance on an individual level. You're not usually going to do that in a group meeting. Your team might be a combination of those things. Tiff and Jared's were. They had people that were like, great, we love G2. You're awesome. You're doing things way better. And then we had people that were like, what the hell are you doing? Right? So it's not usually like a clear cut and dry what this next level look like. I think this is really just for you to all reflect on where your teams are. What have you communicated to them to date? Have you communicated, here's what we're doing, here's why we're doing it, just with regard to limitless? When you get the vision, what's your process for doing that? The limitless question, by the way, is just a good indicator of your natural communication and leadership style. If you haven't sat your team down and said, hey, by the way, we're doing this thing and here's why, that's an area you can work on, because we always want to start painting the picture. When we start like throwing tasks at people and they don't know what's in the picture, they're just like, I don't understand what's happening. Why? And what do you know about how people's brains typically respond to not knowing? Not knowing usually means not liking. It's more work. I don't know why I'm getting it, right? So again, it doesn't have to be 19 team meetings. It's, have we gotten clear? And then Tiff will talk about like transparency and accountability on the other side of that. Step one is, are you and your team aligned in that clarity? That goes really nicely with that, right? Goal for the quarter to create vision clarity and end up with a one-page plan that you can and will share with your team.
Yeah, and that it is. We created our internal, we redid our missions and visions, but like we created an internal mission of creating an environment where talented people can thrive. And like, we use that as a measurement every single time. And we're talking to our team about it. But interesting enough, like you get pushed back on, we went to unlimited PTO and Flex Fridays a few years back. It was prior to COVID. But we had resistance on that. And you're like, and so it's just those things where you're like, I feel like this is a benefit that everyone's been asking for, or we have personal agency, you know, like we're trying to remove that. You're like, hey, I'm running to the doctors, but I promise I'll make up this hour at 6 o'clock tonight. That's not the that's not the environment we're looking to run. But there was, it was uncomfortable. Like, oh, that's change. I don't know. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to effectively manage my time. Will I have the permission to truly take that time off? Okay, well, I've been here 15 years. Why does somebody new get the same amount of time off that I do? And you're just like, wow, okay. We have to have a process for everything to communicate any change that we're making as a team. Cause I just thought like, this is gonna be like a total buy-in. Like everyone's gonna feel great about this. And it wasn't. We have personal agency as a core value. And it turns out not a lot of people know how to be successful in having agency and actually owning their time and outcomes and responsibilities. Like structure was really important to employees. So we had to train on how we can create structure for them to be successful and also having agency. So just some interesting tidbits there, but creating alignment and investment, I was just going to put in the chat some pieces that Jared and I are looking at. And you can go to the next slide, Steph. And I didn't know if I hit all eight yet, but I'll just send it. And if I did or I didn't. But Jared and I look at our business in really through the lens of like three core areas: keep, capture, and compete. So like keep really falling in under like those, you know, the promises that we make to our clients and our team, right? Like how are we really fulfilling all of those pieces? So you can have advice and client, and then capture is what my key role should be. Like, how are we going and capturing opportunities as a firm and growing as a firm? And then compete, like how are we staying in this business? How is this business evolving? What does that look like? Are we managing those things, right? So like we were not competitive when we didn't have a CRM, right? Or like effective tools. And we measure through efficiency, effectiveness, and risk. So what are our singular, like what could be singular failure points to our team? Like, you know, are our employment agreements, you know, are those going to help us? Or are those, can an advisor leave and take all of our clients? You know, how does that work? And efficiency, like how's our time being spent compared to benchmarks? You know, do we believe those benchmarks? What's our philosophy around those things? And then we run the business in eight core areas: business strategy, client experience, legal, compliance, security, investment and financial planning, growth and marketing, culture and people, technology. But what used to happen is like any decision we make can affect any of those areas. So if we can just quickly look through run a project through a lens of like, what does this do or how does it impact that area? It helps us build real quick and understand how we're going to navigate conversations. So as Jared and I are looking at that, we bring it to the partner meeting. We do a partner meeting once a month. And honestly, it's a little bit of a leadership meeting too with a new COO that'll change. The partner meeting really should be on value creation in our perspective of the business. So what are we doing to create value and equity within the business? And as we're all invested in the business, what is that looking at? So like, are we going to acquire that CPA practice? How do we feel about opening another office location? Like, what does that look like? So those types of things are things that we're looking at, making sure that we are clear on value methodology, valuation methodology, all of those pieces. However, they are being run as leadership right now as well. So we get clear on that. We then take quarterly meetings with the team to work on the business. Our team is across the country. So we do two in person every year, and then we do two that are virtual. In these meetings, it is 2.5 days of working as a team together, and we have breakout sessions. So this is where we really get the team's input, and they start creating their own KPIs, their own goals, their own projects. We start with the town hall firm. What is the firm's goals? What direction are we going? And help them start understanding. There's a CEO question that Jared comes up with every one of those breakouts so that they know what lens to look at through what they should be studying, because he's working so closely with everybody in the firm. What should they be focused on, right? Hey, it seems as though in client onboarding for our client ops team, that rolling over some of those accounts is seemingly taking 3 to 4 months. What's one thing that we could do to speed that up? Like, that's a really good idea, because that they can now sit on in that meeting and talk through those pieces, because while they're doing it day to day, they're not thinking this is ineffective, right? Like, we're measuring inefficiencies. They're just trying to get the job done. And if that comes 2 months from now or 3 months from now or 4 months from now, they might feel fine about that. But as a firm, if we're looking to be one of the best out in servicing and compete and do certain things, we want to adhere to a certain level standard. And of course, we want to move those assets. So how do we do that in a faster way, right?
Well, and the thing, Tiff, the thing I want to call out there, you all will hear me talk about it throughout the year, especially when we talk about teams, is involvement equals investment or a much correct. Higher likelihood. So whether you have two people or 28, if you just go do this, or here's what we're doing, it feels unilateral or one way. How would you feel in that situation? And again, I've had owners say to me, well, they have nothing to do with it and I'm paying them. And what's the difference? And I said, well, you can pay for someone's head, but in hands, you can't necessarily pay for their heart, right? When you have people that are engaged and motivated, invested, right? You absolutely get more contribution and impact from the business. So what I hope you notice in there was Tiffany was saying, we talked with the team, we have breakouts. Most of you don't have enough people to have a breakout, and that's totally okay. The takeaway there is notice, similar to things you've heard other places, if you start to connect the dots, I'm a big fan of asking people better questions, because when you ask better questions, you get better answers. Orders are not questions. You don't get feedback. If you don't get feedback, you don't know what you're missing. You don't know what their issues are, and you don't get investment. I started at the bottom of a firm like Tiff, like I used to know, I'd be like, why didn't anyone ask? Like, why won't anyone listen to me? If we just do this, it would be so much better. But no one bothered to ask. And when I tried to tell people, they didn't seem to care. And it was like, I'm the person in the, when we do audits on firms, we go in and the first thing I do is talk with people on the team. And in the span of a day, I can tell you everything about that firm, what they need, what they don't need, where the leader has issues, where the team has issues, where their ops breakdowns are. So the goal is to really surface all of that investment and, by the way, the knowledge and the bandwidth that's behind it. And Tiff asked questions like they set out a situation and they gave them what I call an ask or resolve. Here's where we're at on this. Notice no judgment, just an observation. And here's the goal that we want to create. What's right? Better question. What's one thing? Right, because it's focused and they can't get lost in it. They are then tasked with going off and they have to think and engage and become part of the solution. Ryan, when we talked with you and Ron last year about implementing some of the changes, we talked about, right, having like a bi-weekly meeting with the people working on it, giving direction and then saying, go do that. Come back in 2 weeks, right? We want to be involved, but we want them doing the legwork and then they bring the questions back, or it could be once a week. What Chris could say to her team, like, okay, what questions do you have? Here, capture the service model we're doing now. Here's the worksheet. Bring it back next week. We'll talk through it, brainstorm on the board. I want you to go update it after that. Come back. Notice Chris in this example is directing. Tiffany and Jared have learned to direct. They're sharing responsibility for the outcome. That's investment. So think about the challenge here is, even if you don't have 25 people on your team, think about ways, something you're working on or want to work on, where you could shift your leadership style to more collaborative, no different than clients, right? Than directive, where it's, I love the town hall. Like when I do strategic planning retreats with team, the first questions going before the retreat, by the way, are, What are the breakdowns in the business? So we know, right, where to focus some of that energy. And then we can send people off into breakouts. Even if they cannot solve the problem, the point is they get to be part of the solution so that when you do finally hand over the answer, they feel connected and responsible for helping ensure that it's successful. Rob, if I'm on the team and I'm the weakest link on the football team and we win the Super Bowl, do I still get the ring?
Yep.
You still get to celebrate? Yes, we do, right? When people want to see something succeed when they're a part of it. If your team is, if you've got any of that resistance, the first thing to do is engage the people that have resistance so you can see, right, what it is and how to work through it. So Tiff, you do it so naturally. I wanted to call that out to everyone is asking questions like one of our clients year two, I think, wanted to be gone 6 months of the year. And he was not sure his team was going to be on board with that. So I said, okay, well, let's just ask him what it will take. And he said, hey, I have this really big goal of getting this business to run so well, I can be right out of it for 6 months of the year. And that would mean that we could this and this, and you guys would have autonomy if I was there, right? And you'd really own your roles and the results. And my challenge to you is like, let's have a meeting and brainstorm what it will take. What's going to get in the way? What are you, well, how are we going to reach you? Right. So they ultimately ended up on a plan where at any moment, no matter where in the world he was, he would be able to be home within 27 hours. They checked all the, do you guys feel good about that? Yes. Like, even if the market crashes, I have a phone. And then they literally were like, what if you're off in this part of the world? And he's like, I'll get a sat phone. So when he was off in remote parts of the world, he literally got a sat phone. Everything that they came up with is a resistance point. They got to solve for it together. And then, you know, what started to happen after just a little bit, the team was like, well, we could this, or we could this, or that's not a big deal, because now they were invested in getting him to the goal. So just an example of how you can use questions and intentional space in meetings or monthly meetings, or just getting together for lunch and being like, hey, we're buying pizza. We got a good question we need to answer as a business. Why is this onboarding thing backing us up so much? Right? Those conversations are really powerful, getting clear on the problem, getting investment, and getting on a path to changing it. Sorry, Tiff, I didn't mean to interrupt there, but I just think it's a really important point. The way that you engage the team really shifted from, we got to do this, or we already started this, to, hey, pause, reflection, consciousness, engagement, right? Getting them on board. And then it's get clear, get focused, and then get to work, not get to work, and then deal with the confusion, and then go get your team clear and focused, which is what we tend to do when we have a problem. We go, oh, we got to have a meeting and fix it.
Yeah. And this process, like, it has evolved so much over the last 2 years to really get our team to buy in. To Steph's point, like, accountability was a real big issue for us. Like, Jared and I just kept stepping in and be like, it's okay, we'll solve it. It's okay, we'll do it. But that really prevents growth. Like, that's where my focus needs to be. And Jared needs to be focused on getting the team to that next level so that he can focus as a CEO to the firm, as well as be with our top clients. Because when he's thinking that way, we just have massive opportunity as a firm. But we started, like, with a team's chat that was called Breakdown and Band-Aids. Again, team feedback, they didn't just like the breakdown chat. Like, it felt like they were admitting that something was wrong. So we were also like, what do you feel like you're putting Band-Aids in? And it was just like an anonymous form that you can send in and be like, oh my gosh, like, I've been meaning to tell us that, like, our phone line is coming in from Sedalia and we live in Golden, and that's it come up 3 times for clients. Like, can we have that fixed? So it doesn't necessarily, just like, while you're in your day to day, if there's something that you feel like you're constantly band-aiding, like, how do we get to that voice? And then how do we upload, like, hey, I heard you, you were able to speak and you didn't have to take it on, right? Like, it's not always your responsibility. We have a team. And then we got to this breakout where we're like, we do so much better when we take time to work on the firm and the team. What if we gave our team the permission to work on their seats and their team, and then work towards the greater good? And so you can see, I put some examples in of questions that Jared's asking those teams. Hey, financial planning team, how should we conduct an ongoing professional education and training as we move from creating standards to reinforcing them? So we now have established how we approach Roth conversions, or how we approach insurance, or how we approach, you know, whatever it could be. Now, what does that look like for ongoing training and adherence to the things that we've put in place that we've worked so hard for? In as a part of these breakouts as well, they set no more than 3 projects. I really push for them just to do 1 or 2 a quarter, and no more than 2 processes. So we really want to be in a place that nothing is just living in people's heads. So the processes start on, like, Word documents. We're now working towards the technology wiki pieces of our ops manual now that we have, like, over 150 processes or something like that. But it started at nothing. Like, how do we just start documenting what we're doing and stop building from scratch as a team? And so this week is really important. We socially connect while we're in person. So we try to connect and adhere to the culture. We come together and do education, and then they get these breakouts. The very first time we did it, I think we're a team of 12. I think there was like 75 projects and processes that everyone thought they were going to get done in a quarter. And I was like, I reviewed it and I was like, this is never going to happen, Jared. Should I go back to the team? And he was like, no, let us just go through it. So we hit 50%, which, okay, I'm super happy. They're worried because they didn't hit it. And I was like, no, this is the process of learning how to truly start taking
discernment.
Yeah, you, of course you weren't. You were going into surge and you thought you were going to do these five massive projects. Like that was never going to happen. So it started helping our team understand, like, how can I actually get to the things that I need to while like setting this in a great way? And then how do we fix these pieces? And a lot of times, like, you know, the question is you just had a surge. Like, did you have time to reflect on what went well and what didn't? Like, where do we find that time? And how do we then create a process to ensure the next time it's even better? And we're not just in and like, just in our day to day. So we take those pieces, they set their goals. We then have team meetings on a weekly basis. So our lead advisor team meets with Jared every Monday. We have an all company every week, all hands on deck, that reflects our entire stuff, to your point, our mission and our vision, right? Yeah. We do a well-being connection at the beginning. It's the only time the entire week that all 12 of us see each other and can connect as humans. And we tend to be more thoughtful and grateful when we see each other and connect. So we have the well-being connection up front. We hit calendar. Growth is the next piece because that's where we're highly focused as a firm. So ensuring full transparency there. Those eight categories, we hit every piece of that in that meeting. If anything is coming up in there, really encourage our client teams to share what's happening. Like, want them to get used to case studying out loud, because that brings everybody on our team to the mission of the why. Why do we do what we do? You know, so we keep encouraging those pieces. And then they have one-to-one meetings as teams as well. So lead advisors should have one-to-one meetings weekly with their associates. I have one-to-one meetings with my growth team, and then Jared has them bi-weekly with firm ops, so every other week. And that all company meeting is, as I mentioned, just really important. But so we set it, Jared and I set it. It then goes to partners at a quarterly or on a quarterly level for big strategic planning, then partners for a monthly level. It goes to the team at a quarterly level and then on a monthly level and then on a weekly level. And what we found is we're just, the team is really happy. Things are getting done quick and so much more effective. All of it's transparent. So it's become much easier where in the beginning, I think people feared seeing their work more visible to the entire team. We're finding that that's not the case, that everyone is just like, I love seeing what they're working on. Makes me appreciate their position even more. I understand who I can go to there. So it's actually fostered collaboration. We're seeing more people take time off. Our clients, we have a 99% retention. And Q4 of last year was our biggest quarter since I've come on in 2018, and we're queued up to blow that out of the water currently. So, and like the team, just, we have the operational leverage, we have the open lines of communication, we have the capacity, and we're adhering to full personal agency. Our advisors are healthy and happy humans, which is super important when they're sitting in a seat to deliver advice. And finally, we all are like, there's not, with the exception of our marketing and growth, because we had to set that down while I went into a COO role for a couple of years. But almost nothing at this point is like build from scratch. Like, we're starting to just get into that, like, oh, that system iterations. Is there.
Yeah. The three.
Yeah. And so our team can really feel that. And so as you can hear in that journey though, it started ineffective and we just kept with it and we kept building upon it. Those CEO questions didn't exist at first. It was like, just reflect on your last quarter. How did your project management go? I want you guys to learn how to talk about that openly. And Jared and I very much like, hey, just to let you know, I thought this was going to be a 3-month project and it's not. I highly overshot that. For me, it's a 6-month project to a 9-month project. Here's why. So I want them to understand like that we're all human in doing this, but as that contribution and that clarity in each one of those business lines, it's just really, we've gotten a high level of effectiveness and efficiency. I would say that we're really low risk. Our employment, our employee satisfaction surveys and team interviews are coming back real high. Our clients are really happy, which was really scary for us for a while. Steve was supposed to be with us for seven years. starting in 2020 and or in 2019, and we literally marketed all of that out, and 2020 hit, and he was like, this is where my career is over, like this is not how I want to connect. And so we were like, you know, just the panic of like clients, and we don't have these things in place, and we just kind of just to be where we were to where we are today is a really fascinating story. But this learning how to effectively utilize our team and empower each seat is probably where we've gained the most momentum. And like, we're able to take on probably another 50 households without hiring. We have clear forecasting, we have clear data, we have all the ways to support the team in a really great way. And they have voice in it, but even better, they have accountability. And there's some things that Jared and I just don't even touch anymore. And that just wasn't the case for years.
Yeah. So the encouraging statement in there is, right, 3 and especially 5, but even 3 years ago, all of that was not true. And look where they are now, which just tells you what's possible with 3 years of intention. I don't know if you remember, Tiff, I remember vividly a couple of conversations with you and Jared over the years, like those inflection points. And this was one of them. And I remember the conversation was something around like, you have managers who aren't performing, and your response to that is to do the work for them. Why would they step up and perform? Why would they do that? Like, you're so willing to do the work for them and take it on. And so we all have this tendency to do that. So that's where that shared responsibility and investment, it's just there's no assignment here. It's just an opportunity to really look at Tiffany and Jared's experience and ask yourself, right, how are we leading through change? Where are there opportunities to up-level that, you know, inspirationally, culturally, systematically? What you'll notice here is there's a model and a system for everything, even the process of, right, managing performance and change. Because when we do that, we make it so much more predictable. We're taking the unpredictable and making it predictable. And if you can do that, you avoid this, right? The highs, like we get all around something and then we got to take a break. And then it kind of evens out and you get a consistent flywheel of progress. And the number one thing people want to do when they call us, particularly when leaders or private clients call me, is they want to grow. People call me they want scalable growth. It's what we do. But starting with growth, right? If we go from go to grow, we end up at, oh no, every single time. Right. So there's that space between go and grow. That's what you're doing here this year, is really thinking about how and what gaps do you need to fill to. That's where Tiff and Jared really hit the wall, is they realized, oh, all that stuff that Stephanie says about putting the cart, but like, do you want to double your revenue? Yes. Do you want to double your headaches, your team, your profit? Like, no, we want all of that to get better. Well, we're not going to grow our way out of those problems. And so that's why you can and should start thinking about growth now. But I want you to think about it through the lens of, right, there's a difference between, using this example, a Steve-run shop and a sustainable, scalable business. And then what Tiff and Jared are ultimately moving into, right, is just a larger firm enterprise, regional, right, as they move up that food chain. And to her point, every few million dollars in revenue, guess what they're going to be doing? They're going to go back and break things on purpose. You're constantly in leadership, just revisiting the people, the process, and the platforms, and figuring out where you need upgrades and how do you facilitate them. That just becomes the job. All right. What question? Do you guys have questions for Tiffany? We have a few minutes. I've got a couple things I want to go through, but I want to give you a chance to pick her brain.
I have a question. Tiffany, thank you. Great, great information. What's the first upgrade like you made to put the team in position to grow?
Oh, that's such a good question. The first upgrade we made to get the team to grow. Oh, God.
It can be even like your first change you made to get you going in that direction.
I'm like, you know, we selected a niche. I would tell you that was out of order, just because we had things we really needed to focus on internally. But we did do that early on. I believed in the limitless way, and we picked our entrepreneurial niche fairly quickly. I don't know that helped us grow faster. It created opportunities that magnified all the areas we would break faster in the beginning, to tell you the truth, because our operations just didn't support quite yet the ability to manage like a ton of new clients. But I think for the team, let me think, like, you know, for our team, it's like consistently, like, growth is exciting when capacity is managed in a healthy way. So we realize that, and we do a lot to like be in tuned to the capacity they have, the inefficiencies that exist, how can we solve those? Because as long as they're feeling in flow, like, we then get the growth through all of it, if that makes sense. But like, those were like consistent hurdle, is if they felt overwhelmed.
Yeah, I remember you guys had the heart-to-heart with everyone. You implemented, right, the launch EOS type process. Mm-hmm. Obviously picked the niche. And I remember very much to what Tiffany's saying, it's that the March Summit, the right sizing your client base, really looking at the clients they had relative to the team, the advisor team, and the capacity they had. I don't know if you, right, like, we had to just figure out, like, do we have, what are those four questions you always ask, Tiff? Right people, right process.
Yeah. Is it the, right? It's no process, bad process, no training, right? Or limited training, wrong person in wrong seat, wrong person. And we try to do it in that order. So, because it's really easy as a CEO to, or a owner, to just be like, this person is not performing. And so, like, what we've learned is like, well, why aren't they performing? Is there a clear process for that? Were they trained on it? Those types of things. But yeah, there, if they, the capacity was really the big thing, I think, there, Kevin, is, and a lot of that came from like, so like, for me, I'm instantly looking at the data. So I'm like, the industry says, and this is crazy. And I'll get all fired up with Jared to be like,
yeah, because I remember the capacity
issues.
Yeah, the capacity piece led to some of the projects. And then that led to, I think it was the meeting in Denver where you guys were talking about diamond teams. And I was like, let's back up that truck just a little bit. And then we ended up kind of shifting your org chart. And I think that was really where the team piece started to really come together for you guys.
Yeah,
at least from my vantage point.
Yeah, which then started with client service model.
So it sounds like, you know, I don't want to take up much of your time. You change roles a little bit in the company rather than go out and hire.
I did
more responsibility.
I did. Honestly, I've told Jared this, and we've talked about it. If we go back and look, like, because I'd been in the industry for so long and sat in so many seats, like, that was an option. Like, I can sit in full on biz dev, I can sit in sales, I can sit in client advisor seat, I can sit in full operations and compliance and all those things. It's not what I was hired to be doing. However, like, our firm just wasn't growth ready. Like, we had to get to client service models to understand why we were having capacity issues with our team when it didn't match the benchmarks, right? So it was very clear, like, we were over-servicing in a really big way. And when I say over-servicing, I just mean, like, we're digging into things that were, like, the value trade-offs there. And we really needed to create process around, like, well, how do we not continue to have these things and get more effective and efficient every year? So, yes, I ended up chameleoning into a lot of different roles. So did Jared, in order to get to where we are today. Both of us have learned to ask better questions to help us understand, like, what those needs are. But yeah, it was, I ended up, like, we had a very clear conversation of, like, setting growth down, slowing down to speed up. And it was like, if we're going to do this, I'm going to need to sit in COO seat, and we're just going to have to set that down for a period of time. And that's the decision that we made.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, to Kevin's point, I think that's aligning resources where the need is greatest. If Tiff had been your typical CGO, she wouldn't have been able to do that. She just has a very diverse background, which makes her a great partner to have. And we'll talk a lot more about this at the March retreat around, right, what are the elements in your business structure, in particular around your teams, to leverage them to grow. And Kevin, for you, right, it's teams and capacity and profitability that are going to be the big deal. And the good news is That's true for all of you. And that's what we're doing over the next couple of months.
Thanks.
Yeah, we have to start making sure the income engine that you've got, right, the gas you're putting in the car, we need to analyze that gas and get a sense of how it's performing. And then to Tiffany's point, we look at what clients we want to grow with, right, in that client base, what's really working. And then we can get clarity around, hey, do we want to differentiate, specialize, or niche to improve these? Right. And then once you're clear on the client model and the profitability, then it's all just mechanics of staffing, operations, and growth, which we'll go through in a way that you'll remember when we get together in March. But that's the general idea, right? Get clear on the vision, then get clear on the client model, right? Size that client base, get clear on your growth client, right? You might have container clients, ones that you're keeping, but that doesn't mean that's who you're growing. You might be growing the same kind of thing. So that's what comes out of that analysis, which we're all set to do in April, if I recall the schedule correctly. So I think Tiffany just gives a really big overview. Like they did, 10, 15 years worth of change in like 3 and 5, if you count, right? Jared's a little bit of time before he had Tiffany join. And that's a lot of change to incorporate in that short period of time. So they also will tell you, right, they hustled a lot and they fortunately had Limitless and we had a coaching rate, but right, they were unwinding a lot of stuff that was there from a legacy. You will be to a point, it just, right, it hopefully won't be quite that intense for you, right, because you are the ones for the most part who have created your firms. So this is where we come back to those questions, right? If I ask Tiffany and Jared, do you have a clear and compelling vision? They would say yes. Their team would say yes. If we said, do you have happy, high-performing habits as leaders? Yes, Jared's going to come month after next or so. He's just so disciplined and like he's just got his life wired, his business. Like, so he's going to come talk about how he implemented the happy, high-performing habits piece of this equation. And then what are your accountability systems? Right? How are you holding yourself, your business, and your team accountable? And if you think about what we've covered in the last 30 days, we've actually covered that, right? Vision and the launch process, and or your partner check-ins, or how you're going to hold yourself accountable. The success shifter or some version of that is how you hold yourself daily, right? And or weekly. We'll talk about weekly check-ins. So the idea here is I actually took, right, these three lessons and just built the summit action plan for those lessons at the high level. So if you're having any difficulty whatsoever, we did it for you. So yours might be a little bit different this quarter, but right, mindset, vision, and time are really the places where we're focused, as we've been talking about. This is what we'll ultimately end up with. By the end of the quarter, the goal is to clarify your vision. So you've got a big why, a vision of your model practice, a one-page business plan, right, to lead and guide you and the team. We'll talk with you a little bit more about a Limitless Life book. One of our lifestyle members took all the different components and put them into a book that he looks at once a week. And by book, I just mean, right, he made a PDF. So I'm going to send that out to you guys, and we'll talk a little bit more about that over this quarter. So that'll make a little bit more sense. But he looks at that every week and it reinforces the clients he's working with, his three priorities for the year, his weekly schedule. Like if you look at it every single week, your brain just naturally wants and needs to orient to that. For personal habits, right, it's having some daily practice, getting we call elevating your email. I ultimately want to get you down to 2 times a day, and or delegating it. And then that weekly check-in that we'll talk about. Oops, I skipped ahead. And then the accountability systems, we're going to talk more about KPI worksheets. We're going to start a simpler one. If you're doing more intensive or want to do more intensive stuff, we have one. But we're going to start on that next month. And then that success shifter is your personal accountability to make sure that you're actually showing up and doing the things that are going to really, right, compound into that next level of success. So we're going to dive a little bit deeper into these in each of our calls. This month, we're focused on the one-page plan. I know a number of you have worked on it. A number of you are still working on it from our calls last week. I'll be sending the follow-up resources today or tomorrow after this call because I want to get everyone on the same page. The thing that's really important about this piece is the My Model Practice and the 3-year, I think it's called Mapping Your Business Worksheet. You get to the same place. Those are just the high level version. This is this year's plan, right? So those are steps in the process of getting here. The number one most important part as you start is this top section. those are the key big objectives, right? I want to take 60 days off. I want to, you know, optimize my efficiency and automate workflows. And I want to grow revenue 20% in this example, right? What are those objectives, the goals that you have underneath that, that you need to create? And then each quarter, will, right, you'll go through and identify the priorities, very similar to the way that Tiffany mentioned. You might have fewer meetings, but the goal is to be intentional about where you're applying your change energy. It's an asset like running the shop energy and marketing energy. We just don't really look at it through that lens. So if we have a system, we get a lot more leverage. As you've heard me say a few times already, when the vision is clear, the decisions are easy, or at least a lot easier in terms of how we create alignment. The second thing is we're going to work on our email. Some of you have already pulled yourself out of email or shut down the number of times, which is fantastic. Your goal this month is to implement some strategy from the options of elevating your email. You're going to start using SaneBox. You're going to delegate it to your assistant. What is the strategy that you're going to use to make sure you're moving the needle? Email is your number one dilution source. You check it 17 times a day, on average 3.7 hours, most going to our earlier conversation. It doesn't optimize your how I use your time, and it does not optimize your role time, right? The impact and contribution you have to the business is largely not affected by email. 90% of what's in there does not move the needle. And third, we're going to start Friday cohort check-ins. And so what I'm going to do on Friday is I'm going to send out an email to the group. If you have any issues sharing your email, please let me know. Assume everyone's cool with it because you're all in this together. And it's going to ask you a series of questions. Ask better questions, get better answers, right? What did you work on? What was the impact? What do you need to be held accountable to, or where do you need support? And your job by the end of Friday is to reflect on that and check in and then reply all to the group. Right? Chris will be like, I worked on this. It was important because this is where I'm challenged. This is where I need support. And she's going to send that. You do not have to reply all to everyone. The goal is accountability, habit building, clarity, and focus. Where am I this week? What do I need to be doing? Am I aligned? This is personal productivity. Right. To Tiffany's point, those monthly meetings are your leadership focus. Am I working on the right things? Are we adding value to the business? Are the initiatives having the results they want? So we're going to this month focus on the one page plan, elevating your email and your inbox, and then creating greater awareness and accountability that in turn ties to actions that move you forward through those Friday check-ins. So this Friday, you will get the email from me sometime during the day. You'll typically get it in the morning. We'll find a set time. Your job is not to respond to it right away. Whenever your day ends on Friday, this is a new habit. So the likelihood is you're going to have to work at it until like a couple weeks go by, and just put a post-it on your desk, put a thing on your calendar, right? Weekly check-in with leaders before I go home. The goal is to pause and reflect on how you spent your time this week, so that you can get right clear and aligned on how you want to spend your time going forward. So those are the three things we're going to focus on this month. If you have any issues or questions, do not hesitate to reach out to me. That's what we're here for. All right. I want to go around really quickly. I think we're just coming up on time. I can't see my clock right now. Are we at or over, Allison?
Just 3 minutes over.
Okay. I want you each 5-6 words, right? Hyper-focused. As you think about moving for today's call, what is your key takeaway and any action item, if you have one, associated with it? So take like 30 seconds to think about that. Key takeaway from today's call, action item associated with it. I'm going to start on the other end this time. Sarah, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
I like the chief growth officer title a lot.
Like, I want that job.
And it's kind of aligned with, you know, I don't know. So I need to think about our rules a little bit. That's an action.
Love that. Robert, how about you?
Me?
Yes.
Thank you. I don't remember the exact terminology you used, but accountability, I guess. So we have some talented people, but I find that things end up flowing back through me, right? We did this incredible Roth analysis. Rob, what do you think, right? It comes back to me. operations, you guys, you know, we give them responsibility and somehow it comes back to me as though I'm sort of having to approve things along the way, or feel like everybody else feels like I need to have my eyes on it. And so sort of stopping that process. And so it doesn't have to flow back through me at the end of the project, if that makes sense.
Great. Ryan, how about you?
My key takeaway would be that I want to do exactly what Tiffany opened up with, like long-term, that chief growth officer role. And if she can do it and experience success with it, then I can too. And it's just a matter of finding the people that, you know, want to focus more with the clients and the planning and all that kind of stuff.
You guys are in a similar but different situation than Tiff and Jared when they start, which is you've got to create the scaffolding and the foundation to put you in that position. And so Tiff just thought she was starting there and had to back up a little bit. You're not yet in the position and you're building into it. So you hear me talk a lot about that 3-year runway when we really get intentional about something, right? Where it's just like the wheels just grease and it's just grooving. On average, it's right 2 or 3 years of applied effort, whether it's your growth machine, re-engineering the firm. And so for you, like, think of that as part of that 3-year vision that you and Ron are working on is, right, I am in a full-fledged CGO position in 3 years.
Or I'll have to work 50, on those.
Or 50% time, right? I'm not going to say it has to be 100. I just know that's a fun goal. Because that vision then says, what do we have to backfill to get there? Oh my gosh, we just laid out a roadmap for change, right? We got to get the people right? That's, I think, to Kevin's question to Tiffany, we had to get the team really aligned first, because they, you got to run the shop without interruption or you have no ability to focus on improvement. And you all know exactly what I'm talking about there. So Kevin, right, it was get the team, get the client, right, income piece right, right, working with the right clients for the right fees, get the team piece right. Then we have a little bit more leverage, right, to focus on improvements and growth. So Ryan, good. Yeah, just think about what percentage of your time, if it's 100%, great, but 3 years is enough time to do it. That's your gentle coach nudge, like it should really be 3 years. And it's challenging, like, to put yourself in that spot in 3 years, like you guys are going to hustle and work, but it's totally doable, challenging. Danny and Chase, how about you guys?
Hey, my takeaway is I need to slow down with ideas, and then when I do have one, to communicate it more effectively, like with collaboration in mind, and not that I'm I'm passing on just my ideas and we got to do it, but just being very conscious of the way that it's worded.
Yeah. I like FOPO. I'll start using that, and then FOPO, echo what Danny said, like bringing, like me and Danny, I feel like we just sit and bounce around ideas all day. And not that we think we're going to like implement all of them, but we do not have a process like Tiffany talked about to bring it to, like, bring it correctly to like the team in some way. Like we're usually the kind of, we just, okay, well, this is a good idea. We learned about it and we want to do it. Okay, now do it. And it doesn't actually, we need a better process on that. So that's, I'm thinking about that today.
So that's your launch process, right? Go watch that vision and action accountability lesson. They both talk about it. It's got the rocket ship. That's essentially, right, our version, because it's just simplified for firms that don't need L10 meetings and all of that, right? We've been using it for years. It's basically your process, and then you can modify it. Tiffany samples are all in there, agendas, scripts, checklists, et cetera. So don't hesitate to use those. They're all also in the strategic planning lesson. I think she and Jared did that one. Was it two years ago, Tiff? Yeah. All right. So these are our assignments. Let's see. So we got Danny and Chase. Kevin, how about you? Key takeaways and action items, next steps. Kevin with the black Kevin? Table. Sorry. Okay. I'm going to get, I will get better at this. I promise.
Brown Stephanie, but it's okay. It's just like, I'm teasing. Mine would be team. And we have systems and processes, but really getting their feedbacks in it and have more ownership in it for them. So that's what it'd be for me.
Great. I love it. Leanna, how about you?
For me, it's taking control of my time again. So redoing scheduling, making sure I'm being more mindful of not checking emails throughout the day.
Excellent. Love it. Chris, how about you?
Yeah, I'm
along the same subject of time, I want to just shift my mindset around time from, you know, my schedule's crazy to my schedule is intentional and manageable, and put some of the action items in place, like limiting time on social media and checking email and delegating calls back to clients and emails to clients, like just all the things that I do, because it's faster in my head.
Yep.
Delegating, I just have to stop doing that.
It's that shift and just taking that next step. So you just increase the momentum in the direction that you want. So it's great. Ed, we're going to end on a high note. Good, sir. What are your key takeaways and action items?
I think really just trying to determine, like, more or less the org chart or the structure, the scaffolding, as you just mentioned, and then how much capacity we have to fill that.
Excellent. Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about business model and the org chart and how it's going to grow as you hit those goals at Summit. So get yourself set up for success, and then Ed, that'll be a great topic for Summit or Leaders Retreat. Travis, are you still there? I see your name at least.
Yeah, I don't have my webcam with me.
No worries. Key takeaways?
I would say the biggest thing that I underlined was kind of slow down, and then, you know, ask better questions to get better answers. I think, right, you know, very simple wisdom, but very impactful.
Yeah. Yeah. I think three takeaways that I would leave you guys, right, if your post-it version of things to remember: ask better questions, get better answers. Don't ask your team, why did this happen? Why did it go wrong? Just say, can you, right, give me a review of what went down and what you think we need to do to fix it, is a much more positive involvement-oriented spin, for example. So just really get clear on the questions you're asking. Tiff and Jared have moved from not asking reactive questions. Why did you do that? How did that happen? Everyone knows that's not going to be a great conversation ever. Now they're all the way on the other side of, hey, what do you think it would take if... like, and their team's like, oh, what a great question. Let's go figure it out. Right. That is the transformation you're trying to make. Two, involvement equals investment. Involvement is get clear, lead your team, let them know what they need to do or the next steps, right? Let them share responsibility for creating outcomes. And three is, I learned this at Genworth when I got acquired by a Fortune 200 company, and you join the executive team. And you're so used to just going off and being a rock star and doing things. And all of a sudden it's like your arms are tied to your body and you can't get anything done. And the CEO taught me a lot of things, mostly not what I expected. But there was one really incredible takeaway that I got from him, which was he sat me down one day and he said, Stephanie, it's really great that you're so good at what you do. Ryan, Sarah, Chris, Leanna, Kevin, Danny, right? All of you guys, it's great that you're so good at what you do. He said, success at this point has been about being really good at what you do. He said, all of your success going forward is going to be about what you can do with and through other people to create. And I remember being like, you know, I was like 34 at the time. I just sold my company, right? I thought I knew all this stuff. And I was like, I'm the management consultant, you know? And it took me about 6 months. And I was like, holy hell, he nailed that one. Like, to this day, I still share it. He gets total credit for it. I learned what I don't want in leadership, but that was one thing that he really nailed, was everything that you guys want from this point forward is not about what you can do. It is about what you can do with and through the people that you surround yourself with, your clients, and ultimately, for today's conversation, really your team. So hopefully those were good key takeaways. You've got kind of your structured action items for this quarter. Hopefully you got some things from this call that will help you. I will be following up with each of you this week around the vision work, the follow-ups from our calls, and just checking in to see if you've got any questions to move forward with clarity and confidence. But other than that, it's been great to see you guys today. Good to see the momentum and the mindset and the method starting to shift, and reach out as we can help. You guys have a fantastic week. Make it a really great week. And do not forget, every single day, this is my new mantra. I got a little sign. I got to get it shipped from Costa Rica because I left it there. It's a little like big sign, like those metal signs, almost like a giant license plate. And it says, life is now in session. And I just read that and I thought, wow, I'm not getting like 7 replays on this baby. Life is now in session. There's no retake. There's no do-over. So as you think about this quarter, clarifying your vision, putting the foundation for happy, high-performing habits in place and creating systems that hold you accountable to create and enjoy those levels of success. That's some of the most important work that we're going to do here, probably the most important that we'll do together. And everything else from this point, ladies and gentlemen, is just mechanics. So let us know how we can help. But with that, you guys make it a great week. Take care.